Hello and welcome to episode number 8 of the Eggers Gallery Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Eggers. Our show recognizes and celebrates visual artists who exhibit their art at the Eggers Gallery. For more information about the artists and the gallery, please visit eggersgallery.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today's interview is with visual artist Maya Cereda. Now let's take a peek inside the artist's studio.
Hi, so my name is Maya Cereda. I'm a artist and a children's book illustrator. I'm based in Seattle. I love working with different media, variety of media, mixed media.
Excellent. Maya, we'd like to thank you for participating in the 4th show here at the Eggers Gallery. With our first question in your podcast is, how is your personality reflected in your work?
I love detail and I'm quite obsessive, so I cannot really get away from doing fairly detailed work. As much as I've tried, and I have tried on a number of occasions, to do something simple and quick and easy. And unfortunately, every time I start something, it ends up being hours and hours of details and dots and spots, and it's just the way it is. So whether I like it or not, that's just what comes out.
What would you say influences your art?
A number of things. I think I love nature, and I think that's quite a strong theme with all of my work, even my children's book illustrations. And I love the details, and I love all the things that are in nature, so all the little roots and leaves and little insects. And I'm constantly kind of have my nose or sitting with a camera and just trying to photograph something. So I find nature is a huge, huge part of my influence, but also just other artists and meeting people, a bit of serendipity of life, I suppose. I find sometimes I meet an artist that is working in a certain medium, and then I try that, and then it just snowballs into a collection of work, which would thing I would have never thought of on my own. So life, people, art, mix of things.
Excellent. Could you describe a real-life situation that inspired a specific piece of artwork that you've created?
It's a mix of things. I tend to, I'm a bit of a world traveler. I was born in Poland and I spend most of my life in South Africa, and now I'm living in Seattle. And I find my head is a little bit kind of like a mixed bag. It's a cabinet of curiosities. I'm kind of all the experiences and things I've come across in my life sort of sit in my head. So often my work is, I'll come across something that I really like, and then I join it up with something else in my head. And I think, oh, that would work. That would be an interesting image. So I wouldn't say I can pinpoint something specific, but there is a certain, that just, I tend to connect the dots, and I tend to connect things in my head from things which are happening around me, and also things which have happened in my past, or something I saw or something I experienced, and then I put it into the work. But it's actually quite difficult to pinpoint a specific example.
What makes art good to you?
I think the marriage between skill and concept. As much as I love conceptual art, I find that it needs to be executed really well for to hold my attention. I really love work where it grabs me and holds me and makes me stand there in front of it, whether it's a three-dimensional piece or a two-dimensional piece. Just being able to get lost in it, like make me experience something which I never thought of before. And sometimes that is achieved, well, either with my idea, but also with sometimes through brushstrokes or execution, and you just standing there mesmerized by a piece. I think something is what makes it good. Is what moves me is, I believe, is what makes good art.
How do you go about starting a work?
And the recent pieces, because I've worked with a variety of media, the recent pieces, especially the piece that I've submitted to you, that was in a way an attempt to break my obsessive nature and a little bit of my perfectionism. I like to sometimes overwork things because I feel they need to be perfected and worked on and cleaned up. So I was trying to break that mold. And it started in my sketchbook initially, where I just ended up splashing a bit of watercolor on the page, and then out of that trying to find shapes and forms and ideas, and whether it was natural or fantasy. Or and with these pieces that I'm doing now, I find that I take paper, splash watercolor paint all over it, let it dry, do a few layers. And then once that's done, once I have my whole studio floor covered with pieces, colorful pieces of paper, I kind of choose the best ones that come out and then try and find something in them. So I sometimes don't know what's really going to come out. I don't have a plan for them. So even with the forest piece that I did for you, I more or less knew I was drawing trees, but I had really no idea how it was going to turn out, which makes the piece interesting to me. I'm constantly sort of trying to work out where it's going. So there's no major plan for it, but I actually quite enjoy this way of working because it puts me in a state of flow. There's less criticism and less kind of overall architecture and overthinking and overplanning. And I'm able to just create and draw and focus on the art that's coming out of me, which is really enjoyable. I actually do manage to lose hours during the day just sitting and drawing, which is really great.
Own personal time machine.
Yes, exactly.
How would you say your practice has changed over time?
I'm constantly evolving and changing. I did a lot of painting when I was coming out of university. I studied design, and then I fell into illustration. And as much as I love illustration, it's a completely different way of working, especially with children's books, and it's that you do have to plan what the book is going to look like, how it's going to flow, how the story is going to work in a book. So there is that drawing, redrawing, planning, going through revisions, having people critique it, and I find it sometimes is a little rigid. That creative process, and now I find that I'm trying less preparation, less preliminary drawing, less planning, and just trying to just be true to the piece, because I find ultimately the artwork actually ends up being better. Often it's those first sketches that one puts down that are often they have life in them. They have, the drawings have something in them, that spark, which sometimes if you overwork it, it gets lost. So I'm trying to be as true to my original ideas and my original drawings as I can. So it's an experiment. I'll let you know how it goes in the future.
What are your future goals as an artist?
Because I've started this process now, I'm a little bit like a little girl on a trail, just bumbling along and getting quite excited about where it could take me. But my immediate thoughts is actually just seeing, I imagine myself adding more layers to it, perhaps doing some die cutting, adding depth to the work, maybe doing some three-dimensional pieces. And ultimately, because I love drawing nature or themes around nature, it would be really fantastic to attach myself to some kind of a conservation project to promote nature conservation, animal conservation, something like that. But I know that will one day just fall in my lap. I'll find something, or somebody will find me, and it'll work. I'm trying not to force it too much, but it would be great if those two things could align.
And where do you go to find calls for artists or artist opportunities?
Honestly, I am so lazy. This is terrible. I have really good friends. And they sometimes, they look at my work and they're like, oh my gosh, you'd be so good for this. And this is what happened the last two calls that I've actually submitted to, was my friend actually pointed them out to me, saying you should submit for this because this will be good for you, and then you should submit for that. And in the past, I sometimes go to conferences, or I'll go to an art fair, I'll look for opportunities like that, but it's a little bit of a stumbling. I mean, sometimes one is just searching for something on the internet and you stumble on a call for artists. So it's a mix. I think talking to people and also just finding things by accident. I don't have one of those very planned out ways of looking for galleries and targeting specific galleries. I should, but I don't. Not yet, anyway.
Well, that's a good friend. Don't lose that friend.
Okay, I won't. I think I owe her dinner.
Where do you sell most of your art? Would it be on your own website, social media, art fairs?
I find that I do a lot of social media. I find that that's really great, seeing the Instagram and Facebook, and I have my own website. It's always under construction. I like to sometimes present at fairs or go to fairs and just talk to people and just seek opportunities where I can. I find in South Africa I had a few shows and I ended up selling out that work.
Nice.
Most of my... Sometimes just things find me. I find that it's... I very much believe in serendipity. Things just land in my lap, which is just really wonderful, and I cherish them. I really do. So,
sounds like you have a very magnetic personality.
Hopefully.
Could you take us through a virtual walkthrough of your studio? Could you describe your daily routine or your rituals?
I enjoy routine. I find I'm fairly disciplined, and I love working in the morning. I like to get up early, switch on my computer, switch on some podcast, and just start working. And pretty much work till I cannot work anymore. And that, so often it varies. I find I'm a little bit seasonal, but I like to get up at anything between 4 and 6 o'clock in the morning, and start working from there. So I'll work sometimes up to 12 hours, 14 hours a day. And then when I'm done working, I'll go for a walk and do something else. But I like to have a clear idea of what I'm doing for that day, because I find there's lots of distractions and lots of ideas bouncing around. So if I'm working on a piece and I walk into my studio in the morning, I know that's kind of what I'm doing, and then I get a lot done. I find if I have no plan, the day just runs away and I get distracted by Facebook or something like that, and end up chatting to people online or something like that. So it's routine and discipline go hand in hand, and I like to stick with it. And I'm also my freshest in the morning, so it just works really well that way. Yeah, and I've got sort of two desks in an L shape, so one is for my computer, other one's for my drawing, and then bookshelves all around, and I've got canvases, and I've got artwork stuck on the walls, and it's kind of, I enjoy my studio. It's in a nice big window looking onto the yard, which is inspiring.
What sounds would we hear if we walked into your studio on your feed? Do you listen to music?
Podcasts, okay. Yeah, just creative podcasts or journeys of people, entrepreneurs, creatives, stories, sometimes a book, sometimes an audiobook. I make a very strong connection between what I hear and what I draw. So when I listen to music and I'm working on a project, I cannot listen to that music anymore, because then I'm always thinking of that project I was working on. So I'm actually stay away from music. And I prefer to listen to stories. Or sometimes just sitting quietly. I find that's also nice.
Excellent. What's the best tip you could give another artist?
Depends who they are in their career. That's kind of a hard one to pinpoint. But I find that there's a lot of criticism out there and a lot of people with a lot of opinions. And I think that the best thing to do is really just to focus on you and focus on what really flows out of you, and not to criticize it too much, not to judge it too much. Just let it flow and work on the skill while you're doing that. And be patient, because I find that it's easy to work oneself into a standstill and think, well, you know, I'm ready now. The world, I'm ready. I've done my work. Take me. Take my work. Accept me. Now I want my exhibitions. I want my fame. And I find that often you need to add a few years onto that moment. It's just patience and working on the skill and enjoying it. I think that really, really enjoying it. And I find that the more experienced I become as an artist and the better my work becomes, I'm noticing that the closer it becomes to my true voice. It's less about what other people think I should be doing. It's less about all the criticisms or judgments or opinions. It's more kind of flowing with what I really want to draw. And it's actually getting a good response. So sometimes you just need to really close that door on the inner critic and other people, and just see what comes out. And just be patient. Be really, really patient. Do eventually come to a point and an opportunity comes along, something happens, and it works, but it takes time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And where can people go to find out more about your work?
Like I mentioned before, social media is the best way. I have an Instagram, which is my name. And then on Facebook, well, I have my Amaya Sereda illustration page, where you can connect with me just under my name on Facebook. I do that too. Social media, and even if you Google for my name, I have a website, mayasereda.biz, and if you just, you can just shoot me an email, and I'm fairly responsive. I try to reply as soon as I can. So social media, I think I'm easy to find. But yes, as long as you have my name, I think I'm easy to find.
Perfect. Well, we'd like to thank you here at the Eggers Gallery for participating in the Floristry Show. I'm sure everyone will need to visit your website and check out all your great work.
Oh, thank you very much. This is a great opportunity. Thank you.
The Eggers Gallery would like to thank all of the participating artists in the Forest Show. Those include Chaz Martin, CJ Elsick, Jamie Rodriguez, Julie Guerrero, Maya Sereda, Mark Lavitelli, Mauricio Pazviola, Nicole Ferran, and Robert Mullinex. For more information, please visit theeggersgallery.com. Thank you for joining us on our peek inside the artist studio.